If you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this lesson is for you. If you have not trusted Jesus to be your complete Savior from sin, that's what you would like to do first. So right now, I would encourage you to know that Jesus paid for every sin you will ever commit in the past, every sin now, and every sin in the future. And on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And then Jesus was raised from the dead, so he can be alive to save every person who comes to him. Now, that's good news. So before we start this morning, you can take Jesus as your Savior, and then this lesson will be for you. This lesson is for saved men and women. God has special things to say for his children. If you're saved, you are God's child. And so there's special things God wants us to know. And we've been thinking about some of those things. And one time the Lord Jesus said, "Do this." Do you remember when he said, "Do this"? What he said, "Do this" about? What was that about? Do this. To do what? I didn't hear that. Yeah, to do that is correct. Thank you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Christians are saved to worship and to remember. It's wonderful. This is the best thing. We can be happy. Life is hard, isn't it? But we can come here and we can be happy and we can obey Jesus. So this is for his children. Jesus has something to ask for you as a son of God or you as a daughter of God. And it has to do with the Lord's Supper or the breaking of bread. So today we're going to have some very practical things that we can do to remember the Lord Jesus. And this is review, but I'm focusing on this. What do these two words say, everyone? Do this. All right, let's add the rest here. Do this in remembrance of me. You see the word remember is there, right? Jesus says, don't forget me. In fact, Jesus says, remember me in a special way. Remember me as you take the bread. Remember me as you drink the cup. And so that's what he's saying. He says he took bread, right? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's why Christians break bread. Or that's why we have the Lord's Supper. We call this the Lord's Supper. So it's very important because Jesus says, do this. And that's his command to his children. Alright, but he not only said the bread, he said the cup. What does this say again, everyone? Do this. And it's he took the cup. And the cup reminds us of his blood. And so he says we do this often. So, do this, and do this. Now my question is, how? How do I do this? What? How do I obey Jesus? What do I do? Now I have some helps. The first thing is, if you are a Christian, just come and do. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Just come and do. It's very simple, right? There's a cup. And there's bread. And the Lord Jesus says, just do. Just take the bread. Have some bread. And who are you going to think about? Well, you're going to take that bread and you're going to say, this reminds me of Jesus. You don't have to say anything, do you? To take a piece of bread, you don't have to say a thing. All right? It's just do this. And then, come and do, there's a cup. And the cup is to remind us every week, Jesus poured out his blood for me. You don't have to teach. You don't have to preach. You don't have to say a thing. You just have to stop, take the cup, take the bread, in your heart, say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Because if we didn't, we would forget. So very simply, we could go home now. And we could go home and say, Jesus invited me to come have a meal with him. We went to a birthday party yesterday. And it was very fun. And it was good. We opened the Bible together. We prayed with a family together. Wasn't it a good party? It was a good party yesterday. And people made wonderful food. And I was honored to be invited. Now, Jesus is inviting you. Alright, this isn't your uncle inviting you to a birthday party. This isn't your sister inviting you to a birthday party. This is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, come, eat with me. I can do that. Can you do that? He has a reason. Maybe I don't even know why. But Jesus invites me, so I'm coming. What about you? I'm coming. Alright, the second thing is if you do come, Jesus invites you, bring a what kind of heart? What's the adjective up here with heart? What kind of a heart? What's the noun of the adjective that modifies that heart? Bring a cold heart? Bring a dark heart? Bring a what? Thankful heart. Alright, let's say that. Bring a thankful heart and give thanks for Jesus. I can do that. Can you do that? It's easy. Jesus is not asking something hard here, is he? He's saying, come and do. Easy. And then he's saying, bring a thankful heart and give thanks for Jesus. Well, are you thankful that Jesus saved you? Are you thankful that Jesus died in your place? If I died in your place, I'm not going to do it. I don't love you that much. Okay? But if I died for you, would you thank Nancy? Thank you, Nancy, that Craig died instead of me. You probably would. You would thank my wife that Craig died for you. Now, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he died. But is he still dead? No, he's alive. So you can thank Jesus himself. You can thank him personally. You come here, and when the bread is set up here, and the cup is set up here, and you're sitting down, and you can stand up if you want and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you. That's a thankful heart, isn't it? Was that hard? Okay, maybe it's hard. You could stay in your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming and dying for all of my sins. Thank you that you're alive. Just in your heart. To come back and say thank you to the man who saved your life. Jesus saved your life. What would happen to me if Jesus didn't die? what happened to me after I died? Could I go to heaven? No, because heaven is for perfect people. If I died with no Jesus, I would pay after I died for my own sins. So Jesus came and he died. He did what I couldn't do. So I just come every week because I want to thank him. I come every week and I come and do. I take the cup. I take the bread. And I bring a thankful heart. Now this verse here, I am just going to try to quote it, but it says, let us offer up to God, well, I can't quote it, totally lost it. I'm going to get it here for it. It's Hebrews, you can read that, right? Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 15. He said, I can make a sacrifice. I can bring God something back. Well, what does God want from me? He says, it's a sacrifice of saying thank you. If you are a mother or you are a father, isn't it nice when your children say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. And you feel good. My child said, thank you. And so God is thrilled. He's a father. He wants to hear you say thank you. So here we have number three. We can also prepare our heart. Some days I wake up very unhappy. I'm not buckwheat at all. I'm miserable. And I need something to make my heart thankful again. Well, God gives you something to be thankful again. You don't have to be sad all day. We can prepare our heart. God gives us something. One of the suggestions that God makes, when you come to take the bread and take the cup, God has an idea. And here's an idea to make your heart thankful so you can say thank. It says, when you assemble, that means when you get together, right? When you come, each one has a what? A song. So, is that Sitatra? Yeah. And a song or a song. In other words, I should read the Psalms. And I should think about Christian songs. And that will warm my heart up. So during the week, read some of the Psalms that David has in the Bible. They're good reading. And he says, when you assemble, well, bring a psalm. There's a lot of psalms in the Bible about Jesus before he was born. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 22. And it begins by saying, my God, why have you forsaken or abandoned me? It's the exact words of Jesus on the cross. And they say, that psalm, Psalm 22, is all about Jesus before he was born. God planned to save me before I was born. Does that make you thankful? God knew you were going to be born. He made a plan to save you. And he sent his son. And you go, I was mad, but now I'm glad. Because I prepared my heart. And so, to help prepare your heart in the Bible, read Psalms and read songs. Do you know some Christian songs? Well, think about those Christian songs. And think about if they might be a good song to sing at the breaking of bread. Or a good song maybe just to read. And say, here is a good song about Jesus. Jesus paid it all. You might look, all to him I owe. And you think about a song. Okay, so that's not hard. Can you read your Bible? Can you think about songs? Think about Jesus during the week. Think about Jesus. Right after Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples still did not believe he was alive from the dead. So he met them on a road outside of Jerusalem. And as they walked on that road, he showed them everything about himself from the Bible. He showed them what Moses said in the Bible. He showed them what Daniel said about him in the Bible. He showed them what David said about him in the Bible. And so he showed them all the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and all the way to the prophets. And so read Psalms and songs. Think about Jesus when you read your Bible. Now what I would do, I would write some things down, or I would type. If you have a computer, I would type. And so when Sunday comes, you have a heart that's prepared and you're thinking about things. Now, it's one thing to read it, right? It's one thing to think about it, but what's this word here? Share the psalm or song. This is a tongue twister, so we should try it everyone together. Ready? Share the psalm or song. Hey, that's pretty good. That was hard to say, though. Share the song. The psalm or song. You know what you can do when you read your Bible? It's wonderful to have a wife or a best friend. And you tell them what you read. Even before Sunday, you call them on the phone or you talk to them at school and you say, look what I read about Jesus. I'm so thankful that the Bible teaches me this about Jesus. And then when you come to drink the cup and do the bread and your heart is thankful, maybe you'll have something to say. You'll say, I want to read what I read. And you read a verse. Maybe it's Psalm 22 and verse 1. You say, I read this. And it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you go, oh, I am so thankful that Jesus was abandoned, that Jesus was forsaken for me, and that he said it so long ago. All right, now, if you come to this meeting, I want to tell you a story. When I was first saved, I knew nothing. I was 20 years old. I didn't know the songs. I didn't know the books in the Bible. I was stupid. And so I started listening to the songs. And you know what I thought first? I said, I can't do this. This Christian music is too hard. I don't even understand the words, and I speak English. But I kept listening, and I said, oh, I know that word. And then I learned another word, and then I said, I like that song. And I got three or four songs that I really liked because they said something about Jesus that I was thankful for. And so when I came to breaking the bread, I looked at those three or four songs and I said, oh, let's sing this song because I'm thankful to Jesus, maybe for his blood. I'm thankful for Jesus because he's the King of Kings. And this song tells about that. Okay? So listen. Listen to the songs at the meeting and think about what they mean. Now, what you're going to have to do, the same thing I did, you're going to have to ask someone, what does this word mean? I am convinced that when the songwriters wrote the songs, that they found the most difficult word they could find to put their thought in words. Sometimes it appears that way. So think about, ask people, what does this mean? And it's good. Oh, there we go. There's ask questions, okay? Ask, don't be shy. All right? Don't be shy. Will people laugh at you if you ask questions? Yeah. I'm sorry. People laughed at me, and we'll laugh together, but we'll learn. All right? We will learn. And it's wonderful. Okay, so breaking the bread, do this, and let's see if we got one more. 1 Corinthians again, when you assemble, each one has a psalm and has a what? A teaching. A teaching is something you learn about from the Bible that teaches you something about Jesus. Alright? It's not a song, but it's something about Jesus that you learned. And as you read, let's say you read about Jesus in the first 4 books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as you read about those things, you hear Jesus teaching. You learn about Jesus, and you're so excited. That's why I like our team Bible study, because we get so excited about the stuff we're learning that you have to talk about it. So you read your Bible, and you read the teaching in the Bible, and you're so excited about it that on a Sunday, you come and you say, I just have to read this. And I want to read it to the Lord. Now, there's no preacher at the Lord's Supper, is there? Who's talking? And who's thanking? Do we pay a man to talk for us? Who is this man here? His name is Each One. Okay? This man's name is Each One. And that's you, and that's you, and that's you, and that's you. Each one. There's no pastor who has a license to take this bread and pass it down the aisle. God expects each one to think, each one to thank, and each one to have a teaching. And, read about Jesus in all the Bible. And think. This is so, you cannot thank until you think. Does that make sense? You have to think first. And once you think about Jesus, you have to say thank you. And as you think about Jesus, what makes you thankful for Jesus? At the breaking of bread, you have an opportunity to bring that to God. God, I read this week about Jesus. And you bring it to the Lord, and Jesus is right here. And we thank Him personally. We read to Him personally. We sing psalms and songs to Him personally. And we share the teaching with thankfulness. See, the Bible makes your heart thankful. Were you ever in love? Were you ever in love? Were you ever in love by the girl that you loved? I suppose this is true for girls. The guy that you loved was far away. And so, before Uvu, you had to write letters. And you wrote a letter, and your boyfriend or your girlfriend, they got this letter, and so excited, she loves me, she still loves me, and you get another letter, another letter, and you're so excited, because those letters make you love the person who's not here more and more and more, until finally, you get married. Finally you get married, and you're together. Alright, God has left us a letter. And reading that letter makes you love Jesus more and more and more until one day we have a marriage. We're in heaven. And we meet Jesus Christ. And He dresses us like the bride to be married to Jesus Christ. It's very exciting. So, I'm going to read this in English. This is also from 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is saying when they assemble, when they get together, here are some things he did. He prayed. But he prayed with his spirit and also with his what? His mind. He thought about the things that he said. And he prayed with his spirit and he prayed with his mind. He sings. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind also. And then he says, I think about the songs. And I think what will say the best thing about the Lord Jesus. And he says, otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted? So he's saying, someone comes and they talk, they pray or they sing, and they don't make any sense. And he says, what are people going to think? They're not going to understand you. And he says, how is that person who doesn't understand you going to say amen at your giving of thanks? So there's three things we do when we get together. You don't need a preacher for any one of those things. We pray, we sing, we give thanks, we say amen, and we use our mind, our spirit, our heart, and love for Jesus are fully engaged, but our mind is too. And so, we pray, we sing, we give thanks, we share a song or teaching, and then God asks the men to do the talking. That could be very frightening if you're a shy guy. But I don't make the rules. I'm telling you the rules. Jesus wants the men to stand up and do the talking when it comes to the breaking of bread and the teaching. And the time of prayer, just in church. When we're outside out there, it doesn't matter. Men, women can pray, can teach, can do whatever, but in here, when we come together to break bread, when we come together to teach, what else? Pray. God has rules, and one of those rules is God asks the men to be the representative who talks for the family. The representative who talks for the assembly. When someone stands up and gives thanks, God says, man, you're the man. Be a man. Stand up. Say thanks to the Lord Jesus. And here's what he says. Here's the rule. The women are to keep silent in the churches, not just in the church meeting, for they are not permitted to speak. So, that's a rule. It's a rule that God made for the church. Oops, wrong way. Now, here's what we have. Come and do. Bring a thankful heart. Give thanks for Jesus. Prepare your heart in the Bible to be thankful for Jesus. Pray, sing, give thanks. Share a song or teaching. God asked the men to share and pray aloud. The women to not share it aloud. Everyone can sing together. And then any man can give thanks for the bread. There are churches that teach when the minister goes up front and he touches the bread, it magically changes into something. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus says you take bread and you break it and you give thanks. And you eat it. There's no special man who gives thanks for the bread. There's no special man who gives thanks for the cup. Any man can give thanks. Any man can pray. We can all sing. Any man can share teaching. That's how the breaking of bread works. It's so exciting because who's doing it? We are doing it. Right now, I'm doing all the talking. It's boring. But if you are talking to God, and you are talking to God, and you are talking to God, and you are thanking God, and Jesus is right here taking all that thanksgiving, it suddenly gets very exciting. Because you're thinking, we're coming to the living God, and we're giving Him a sacrifice, and it's just what He asked for. And even if I don't say a word, I just come and do. I'm obeying Jesus. Now, there's one more thing God asks us to do. Why does He ask me to confess my sins before I come to the breaking of bread? Now, think about this. He says, think about your life, and if there's sin, put the sin away. What do you know about God? What is He like? Does He have sin? No. So, the blood of Jesus washes us from the penalty of sin, right? But every day I commit sins, right? Even though I'm saved. So God says, think about that. What did you do this week? I lied once. God, I bring that sin to you. That's the sin Jesus died for. And then, because God is holy, He wants us to come as holy worshipers. Because God's Holy Spirit is, He's holy, is with us, and Jesus Christ is with us in the Lord's Supper, we confess. And forsake means put it away. So maybe it didn't work, but maybe next week you're going to fall in the same sin. It doesn't matter. This week, before you come, we come to a holy God. And we're meeting with a holy Jesus Christ. And so it's for saved people, but saved people still have to confess sins before they come. And here's what he says, but a man must examine. That means look at himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You look at your life, and he says, don't drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Every one of us are unworthy. We don't deserve to be saved. But he says, as a Christian, I want you to walk or live your life in a worthy way. And so, he's saying, he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. God is a father, and He disciplines His children. It may be tough discipline, it may be easy discipline, but God is a father. He will not put up with sin in the lives of His children. And this is what Paul said, for this reason many among you are weak and sick. People were dying in the church. But he says, but if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. You see, God disciplines us. So, that's a very good point. Prepare your heart, confess and put away sin before you come, and then ask God to lead and help you in worship. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will give words. That God the Holy Spirit will fill your heart. That God the Holy Spirit will direct. And that's what he's saying here. And I hope this isn't too hard, but he says, when you were pagans, before you were saved, he says, people were led. But we were led the wrong way. He says, however you were led. Before I knew Jesus as Savior, you know the bad ideas I had? They weren't all mine. Satan works in the minds and hearts as the prince of the power of the air. And he works inside all unsaved people. So he said, before you were saved, there was a spirit, an evil spirit working. But he says, now I make known to you that no one speaking, there's another spirit. By the spirit, this spirit has a capital S. It's the Holy Spirit. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Well, that makes sense. You don't say bad things about Jesus. if the Holy Spirit is working through you. He says, but no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here's my, I put it in writing here. In the meetings of the church, we expect God, the Holy Spirit, to lead in the Lord's Supper and give words to our teachers when we have teaching. And we ask Him to do that. Isn't that something to think? When we worship, Jesus is in our midst. But also when we're worshiping, God the Holy Spirit is working with you, and you, and you, and you, and He's guiding us. This is better. This is the best thing. So, there's our 10 points. And we don't have time to think about this, but we do have time to just say, do this. Alright, I invite you, if Jesus is your Savior, I invite you to come and be a part of the breaking of bread. And someone may ask, how do you know you're saved? Well, we'll help you know. Okay, we'll help you know that you're saved. But it's an invitation by Jesus, and He's saying, do this. I invite you to come to this meal. And it sat with His body, it sat with His blood, and I just come and thank Him so that my heart is always thankful for Jesus. Is your heart thankful? Is your heart thankful? I hope so. You come and tell Him. You come and tell Him. That's what He wants to hear. Father, I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You that He invites us to the Lord's Supper, to His own Supper. He invites us to break bread and think about His body and be thankful for His death. He invites us to be thankful for His resurrection and for who He is, everything about Him. I pray that as an assembly, we would not grow cold in heart. I pray that You will fan us to a fervency for You, that we would have a warmth in our love as a group to You. And we pray that You'll take the words that are said today and that You'll preach them over and over in our hearts and apply them as is necessary. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.